goes up on me. And so this morning I'm holding him going, well, I'll hold him. You know, I was expecting to be all wet over here when I spoke, but he did really great this morning. So it's great to have live music and just coming together to praise the Lord. So, but it's Palm Sunday. So palm trees. Do you know how many species of palm trees there are? Does anyone have a guess? Guesstimation. Huh? 20? Not 20. There are 2,750 different types of species of palm trees. And they're growing. And they're growing, but they're growing as in they are continuing to make hybrids of palm trees. So that's so you know, and that's continuing to grow. And we always think of palm trees as palm trees are what? You find them where? In the just warm climate, right? That's what I always thought. As I started looking at palm trees, there are hybrids of palm trees that are actually grown. They can go down to negative 10. So we can actually plant palm trees in our area, like in our growing region. Have you ever followed the growing region, like how the, like the regions of where the numbers, right? So in our number, you can grow the needle pine tree. That's the one that can go down to negative 10. And actually that's, I'm told, if you're a quilter, you love the needle pine trees because they're needle pine trees. Okay. So if you like to, yeah. And they're growing as well. And then, palm trees are coconut trees, but all coconut trees are palm trees. So, and a banana tree is not a palm tree, just so you know. And then I got sidetracked. So this is your part of my sidetrack. Do you know how that you can grow a coconut? We can grow coconut. If you can actually grow a coconut, if you buy a coconut with the husk and everything still on it at the store, let's say you go to Walmart, you know, they say you can, but if it's a genetically modified, do you ever find some of the genetically modified seeds now you try to plant, they're there and you pull the seeds and they never grow again. But so anyhow, if you take a coconut and it has the husk and everything on it and you have the water and you shake it and you can still hear it in there, you can potentially grow a coconut tree. So I didn't read this yet, but we're going to understand this together. How to germinate a coconut. So you soak the coconut in water for 3 days. This is all because of Palm Sunday, right? You fill a 12-inch container with potting soil and some extra sand, a good soil, and you mix it together and you add it into the, after you soak the thing for 3 days and you put it in this container with the soil and some sand and mix it up. You plant the coconut with the pointy side. Has anyone ever done this? Okay. So you plant the coconut with the pointy side down and the top, a third of the coconut should be remaining uncovered. So you have the top of the coconut and you place the container in a spot that's warm and well lit at least 70 degrees. And then you water it and you wait. And I think it says it takes, you don't want your soil too soggy or waterlogged, and you just kind of wait, and it will germinate, and you can have your own coconut tree. So, there you go. Now you know. You can tell people, hey, I learned that at a church. You know, great. Okay. So anyway, so all that for coconuts, and so yeah, it's a little nutty, but that's the way it is. So. Palm Sunday, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my family, seeing people up here, my kids, that them grandkids, and just a pleasure to hold my kids and my grandkids and watch them worship you, Lord. I thank you for that. It's such a blessing to me personally, and I thank you for that blessing. Lord, I thank you for this church and the blessing that the people are in this church. And everything that goes on and people doing stuff all the time. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone in here. Lord, speak to us this morning, Lord. You know, as I spent time praying to you this week, I always feel that I'm so small compared to how great you are. And help us always to remember and to stay humble of how great you are and how small we are. We are just very small. And Lord, we just thank you for meeting us here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So Palm Sunday. It actually starts. So we're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It kind of starts there. And that's kind of where the triumphal entry started. It started 400 to 500 years before Christ was on the earth as a human, right? So it started that long ago by the prophecy by Zechariah. So I wanted to start with that as we look at the triumphal entry of Christ coming into Jerusalem and what the prophecy says and kind of start unfolding how that looked. So, we're going to read that. Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. And obviously, Zechariah was a prophet. Same time frame as Malachi and those whole minor prophet areas that he was a prophet. And he was actually a priest as well. So, in verse 9, he said, chapter 9, verse 9, this is the verse that reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem." So there's supposed to be some huge rejoicing here, right? When this prophecy was given, he's saying, Jerusalem, rejoice. This is a huge moment that's coming. And it was like way far out, 450 to 500 years. I mean, that's older than our nation, right? That's how far out that this prophecy started to came to Zechariah. And I think about that, and it takes me back then to what I preached about earlier this year, or last year or this year, about the heavenly realms. Because so many times we forget about that heavenly realms, because we're connected into our time slot, our time frame, and we are, we're limited to our time, right? And Stan and I were talking about this morning about time and just age and how some people think, well, I'm on the downside, well, you know, or well, I'm on the upside. Because we're limited within a time. Now, Stan wasn't saying that he's on the downside. But I said, as soon as you're born, you start the downside. Because, you know, it's like, because Stan was saying, he's always very positive on what his age is. It's like, I feel great. I want to serve the Lord. So I just said, yeah, because the reality of it is our time starts, boom, when we're born, and that's when our time starts. So 500 years before the time of Christ, Zechariah says, "Rejoice, Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Stop. That was the prophecy. That was what he was talking about, this prophet, 400, 500 years before the time of Christ came as a man. Well, we know Christ was there at the beginning, but before he came as a human person, that prophecy was given of this is who the Messiah is, and this is what will happen. Boom. Now, that prophecy given 500 years, 450, 500 years. If I say 500, I mean that time frame, right? That prophecy was given. So the Jewish people, were they waiting for this? And we know many of the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. Many of them didn't care. Let's face it. I mean, the Jewish people are just like us, just like Gentiles. Some of them were waiting very intently on the Messiah. Some of them, they were locked into their customs, and some of them didn't care at all. That's just the nature of all humanity, of all people. But this prophecy was given of this Messiah to come. And what I wanted to pull out and really look at this morning is the word here, the phrase, which is the title of our message, having salvation. Having salvation. Zechariah talked about Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. He talked about him being righteous. So he was righteous, right? When Jesus came in to Jerusalem on the triumphant entry, he was righteous and he was having salvation, but he wasn't yet salvation. Do you see what I'm saying? He was, because he's prophesied about, but he yet wasn't salvation because he was still having salvation. Because what leads in then to come forward is when he is salvation. So what does the word that having mean? In the Greek or in the Hebrew, that the word that's used specifically for having in the Hebrew was like to be the master. They actually termed it as like a husband. And since the Hebrew of old, right, we knew how family societies were. And if you were the husband, you were the master, you were the chief, you were the one in charge of that. So that's kind of, that terminology is kind of where that comes from, that having translated 100% word for word from the Hebrew, taking it to the master, the chief, the one that possesses, that has the authority to possess something. The owner of. So in thought is, Jesus, when this prophecy was given, was the owner of salvation, or the possessor of salvation. So Zechariah is saying, when this Messiah comes, when the Messiah comes in to Jerusalem, he's righteous, which Jesus was 100% righteous, sinless. And he was possessing the salvation that humanity needed, right? So that's the prophecy that was given. It's kind of like, so he was kind of like the key, but the whole package. You know what I'm saying? So, a little story. When I was bear hunting. This was years ago. I was bear hunting with some guys, and we were way up in the mountains, away far from everybody. I mean, no one was around. Cause, you know, as I get to go, I keep going. I can go further. I'm glad I didn't shoot a bear way out there because I don't know how to get it back. But I was way up in the mountain, and we were pushing on this drive, and we're going to come around and meet at this location. So we get up there. We met at this location. We were in, I don't even know how far, but we were way up in the mountains of Pennsylvania. And as I get up there, there was a guy that had a van that was sitting up in the wood, like up on top of this mountain. Evidently there's a road up there that he could get through, and it didn't look like much of a road. He made it in, and he made it in with, like, it was a Plymouth Voyager. Does anyone know the Plymouth Voyagers? It's a minivan, right? You had, okay, Dick. So I had one too, like previously. And so I get up there, and of course ours died. So it's like, I didn't have it anymore. But this guy's Plymouth Voyager minivan was sitting there, and the guy was sitting next to his van. And I said to him, I was like, did you see anything? No, I didn't see anything. Well, he said, I'm getting ready to leave. He said, I got to break a window. I said, what? He said, I left my keys, and I left my car, and my keys are in the car. I can't leave unless I break the window. I said, that's a Plymouth Voyager, right? He said, yeah. I said, you know what? I pulled my keys out. It's in my pocket. I said, I used to have a Plymouth Voyager. And I said, yeah, I still have the key. Because I just got rid of it like the month before. The key was still on my key ring. And I said, I wonder if I could open your car with my key. And he's like, no, it's not going to happen. I said, well, let's try. So I went to the driver door, put the key in, nothing. Went to the passenger door, put the key in, nothing. Went to the back hatch gate, put the key in, boop, and I opened up his car. Great, yeah, how technology used to be with a key. So I opened up his back door. So here, and I didn't know it, but I was the possessor of his key. Like, I had the key. I wasn't the key. I wasn't anything. I had the key. I possessed a key that could open his door so he could get it. In a sense, that was his salvation to get down the mountain without breaking a window, right? I mean, that's kind of how it was. So with this, Zechariah talks of Jesus as having, possessing the key. He was the possessor of salvation. And with Jesus, since Jesus was God and is God and our Savior, Jesus was the whole package. He was the key. First, he was righteous. He was the key. And when you get in and you open a door to get into salvation, the unlocking and what's next, he's that as well. Jesus was the whole package. He was having, he possessed, he was the master of salvation for us, for all of humanity. That's what is talked about here as Zechariah. And I just loved how he says that having, he was possessed that quality about him. Because that's what the new, when you look at new definitions of having, and it talks about the qualities of a person, what they have, those qualities. And that was Jesus. He had those qualities, having salvation. But yet, Jesus being righteous, Jesus being the Messiah, Jesus being prophesied about to be the Messiah, as he was born with the prophecies, followed within that whole, the whole fulfilling all the prophecies. He still had the having of salvation. He possessed salvation. But we know coming into Good Friday and to Easter, that's after Easter, after the resurrection, that's when Jesus turned from having salvation, possessing the salvation, to giving us salvation, right? Because up until that point, Jesus, being God, but also being man, he was mad when he overturned the tables, but he was being man, he still could have walked away and said, I cannot do this. And that was always open for him as a person to walk away. He possessed, he had the having of salvation. And unless Christ went forward and continued through Good Friday and Easter, the resurrection, that's where the salvation that all of a sudden he came from the having to being salvation. So as we look at this prophecy of the having of and how this all took, so then he had to fulfill all the prophecies. And we're going to jump over to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, where Christ here came in. He's coming into Jerusalem. I'm going to read this. This is a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So I'm going to read Matthew 21 through 1 through 10 as this entry took place so many years ago that impacts us as people, as our Savior fulfilled this prophecy from Zechariah 9. Chapter 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem, came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, here's the prophecy fulfilled. Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with the colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. So the Lord Jesus gives these instructions to his disciples because they weren't apostles yet, right? They weren't apostles, and Jesus still, he was possessing salvation. He wasn't salvation yet. He was, but he wasn't, because that time hasn't come. So he's still working on the prophecy. And he will send them right away. Verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks, their coats and everything on the road. This is laying out to where we are. While others cut branches from trees, and you'll go over to John chapter 12:13, which calls out that specific tree, the palm tree. That's why we call it Palm Sunday. That's where it was called. But in Matthew, it doesn't say the palm tree. Anyhow, he spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those followed shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. All of a sudden, we have this prophecy in Zechariah, 500 years before Jesus walked the earth as man, and this prophecy was given. Now, we roll forward, and we're at the time where Jesus is telling his disciples on Palm Sunday, which was already prophesied about. And he said, go get this donkey and the colt. Now, think about this. Very specific on instructions that had to be followed here, right? I mean, there was donkeys, there was camels, there was horses, there was all sorts of animals that Jesus could have said, hey, guys, go into town and get me a mule, or get me the finest horse that a king would ride. He could have said that, couldn't he? But Jesus, as prophesied about, was to be righteous and humble. Humble donkey. Jesus was humble, right? Jesus cared for people. Jesus cared for humanity from the standpoint of, number one, being God, coming to earth, loving us so much, knowing that he was dying to provide me, a sinner, salvation, to provide you, a sinner, as salvation. Yet, and how many times, I know I feel like I let the Lord down when I'm doing whatever, and we're all like that, right? How many times we feel like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Or man, I really blew my testimony with that. Or, and we lose track. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. I saw a picture last night. Perfect picture. Did you ever see the AFA, The Stand? It's a magazine. Anyhow, on this picture, sitting on my office floor, and I looked at it last night and I pictured that is such a great picture. It showed this forest with this mud and dirt and this little lamb that was covered in filth, like right up front on the picture. And you see in the background, this one man walking in the dirt coming through. And that's Jesus. And Jesus was walking down. It's a great picture. I should say, but he's walking through the dirt and the mud. And there was this lamb filled with garbage and muck And here comes Jesus, right? And that's how he is for us. And that's what this prophecy said. So Jesus now is telling his disciples, guys, go into town. You're looking for a donkey and a colt. The prophecy says, very specific, a colt. Do you know the difference between the donkey, the colt, and the whole system there with the specifics of a donkey? So the donkey, which we know is a donkey, but he just didn't say a donkey. He said, specifically, Zechariah said, a colt, which is a young male donkey under 4 years old. So if that donkey was a month over 4 years, it wouldn't have been a colt. So the specifics even got narrower on what he had to ride in to fulfill this prophecy. So Jesus then sent the disciples to this man who had a donkey and a colt. And it's not a filly. Do you know what filly is? Not Philly cheesesteaks. You know, Philly cheesesteaks are good. But a filly, and not... So a filly is a female donkey that's under the year of a young female donkey. So the specifics were so tight that these guys, with the prophecy, went into Jerusalem, went to a man, and Jesus tells them this. Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there. Jesus, possessing, having, knowing salvation, that he was our salvation, already knew where this donkey and the colt would be. And he already knew, like, if the owner says to you, dude, guys, what are you doing taking my donkeys? It's like, probably a guy who was having a stable or a farm his assets. You think about that. These two guys come rolling in and they say, hey, because Jesus said, you're going to find them right away. They go in, they go down the street, boom, there's a donkey and the colt. Oh, let's go take them. You know, were they almost like stealing them, right? But they said, just go take them. And he said, if the guy asks, say this. So Jesus knew the guy was probably going to ask, like, why are you taking my animals? These are mine. And Jesus said, if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This prophecy from Zechariah that Jesus, 500 years before Jesus' time, was fulfilled, and the specifics were very narrow. Zechariah says, Jesus, the Messiah, would be a righteous man, having, possessing the qualities, had the ownership from the Hebrew. He was the master of salvation. That's where we get, which we know and have today, of our salvation. Christ, following the prophecy, knowing and fulfilling the prophecies, and then, which I don't want to get into Good Friday and Easter yet because that's coming next week. You know, but we know that salvation didn't take place until Christ gave of himself. So he was all qualities, all aspects, all everything for salvation, had those qualities here when the disciples were getting on Palm Sunday and they got the donkey and the colt. And Jesus then, fulfilling prophecy, rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, or on the donkey, which the colt, on the colt. And then specifics come out of the story that people were yelling and screaming of, hey, this is our Savior. This is Jesus Christ. He's coming to save us. And they threw down their clothes, their coats. and they threw down palm branches, and they came in this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but yet the Jewish people still didn't fully understand who Jesus was, did they? They didn't understand that he having salvation, that having salvation is the point here. He wasn't, and we see it in chapter 21, verse 11. The crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So the crowds looked at Jesus as a prophet. They didn't take into consideration the whole prophecy of Zechariah, knowing that Jesus just wasn't a prophet. Jesus was having salvation. Jesus, being the Messiah, had the qualities to possess the salvation that all of humanity needed. Not just the Jews, not just the Arab people, not just a specific amount, a person or type of people, but all of humanity. The Jews, that's why when you look at that, they looked at him as the savior from their political realm, or the prophet who could heal people, or he could give us food, he could provide stuff, he did these miracles. He could do the miracle of not having Peter throw up on my shoulder, right? That was the miracle for me this morning. So Jesus could do all these things, but yet the crowds understood Jesus not to be having salvation as the Messiah. That's why so many days later, as we get into this Holy Week and we remember Christ walking into the streets and people praising him, saying, "Our Savior, Hosanna," throwing down the palm trees, throwing down their coats. And then so many days later, putting them on a cross and saying, kill him, get him out of here, kill him. Because what did they know? They knew Jesus to be a prophet. That's it. That's what the disciples understood, and understood way more after Easter morning. But the crowds, the Jewish people at this time, still just looked at Jesus as a prophet. As a prophet. So for us today, how do we see Jesus? You know, so many times we come to church, we grew up in the church, we're raised in the church, we tell our kids about church things, do we forget, like the Jewish people, how important, like we know we have salvation, right? Because now we're on the flip side. So we understand salvation because we understood Jesus' resurrection. These people understood a prophet. Now we're on the backside of that whole miraculous event and the prophecy being unfilled. For us, we look back and we say, okay, this is what happened. And we can see the prophecy. Wow, look at this. Jesus, wow, this prophet, 500 years, understood. God told him, crossing this spiritual realm of understanding through God speaking to a prophet and putting that down for the next generation to wait and look for this Messiah who was possessing, having salvation. And it happened and occurred and it came and it went. And here we are today, 2025. What's our mindset on that whole having salvation process? Because it's for us, right? It's for our kids. It's for our grandkids. It's for our neighbors. It's for all types of everybody, the dirtiest, sinfulest person you can think of. It's that person who Jesus is walking to get that little dirty lamb, right? This prophecy was fulfilled. So for us today, this whole week, in my opinion, is such an encouragement for our faith. If you ever wonder or doubt who Christ was. And sometimes it crosses my mind. I'm human, right? What if I'm wrong? What if this is all wrong? I hear this. What if the Quran is right? What if the Hindu people are right about all this goodness? But you look at the prophecy. This is a solidifying event that keeps us solid in our understanding, not to doubt who Jesus said he was. The prophet said he was having salvation. Jesus said, I am salvation. And that's the prophecy was fulfilled. So as we think about this and we go into this week, we look at today, Palm Sunday, take the palms. You're going to take the palm tree, palm branches. These might be needle palms. A quilter, you can, like the needles, but take one and put it in on your dining room table. Give one to your neighbor. I don't care where there's a bunch of them out there. Just give them out and say, hey, it's Palm Sunday. Do you know what this means? Or just put one on someone's car. And maybe not if someone's car might scratch it. But use the palm tree, the palm, as a way to tell someone about Jesus. Our Savior is our Savior. He was possessing and having salvation, and now he's our Savior. If we give and we trust and we give our sin over to Jesus, that's what we know. And if we've been in the church a long time, we understand salvation. But yet so many times, are we sharing that salvation? Are we looking for the opportunities to tell somebody about who Jesus is as our Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for Zechariah and you speaking to him, this priest who wrote down what you gave him so many years before you ever walked the earth. And Lord, I thank you for that prophecy that was fulfilled. I thank you, Lord God, Jesus, that you had the qualities of having salvation and that you fulfilled the qualities to be our salvation, not just to have salvation, but be our salvation. Lord, I know you are my salvation. I know I'm a sinner. I know that you have taken my sins away, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for just this week as we can concentrate and look and think and contemplate of what you did for us. And I pray for that, Lord. I pray for the opportunities for all of us to speak your salvation to people. Help us to be bold and open our mouth even when we're scared. Even when we think, well, maybe I shouldn't say something. And I know that happens to me weekly, Lord, where I know you say, hey, you should say something here, and I don't. And I miss an opportunity. Lord, help me to be better on that as those opportunities come up. Help all of us to do that. Lord, just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, speak to us this week as we look at this coming Friday of what that day means with Easter right behind it. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, we are dismissed, but sorry, I'm going to end up with this. I forgot my, I know you wait for this. Janet waits for this joke. She calls me and says, Jeff, can you, she does it. You're dismissed, but you can listen to this one as we go. Okay, the UK joke of the day. What will the Terminator be called once he retires? The exterminator. You got it. Okay. That's a good one.